Beneath and Beyond Sampler, as read by the author, David Strickland. Chapter 1, The Warning.
The first hint of morning sun pierced the dusty window pane, striking Brian Hummel in the eyes. The tall 16-year-old sat up groggily and threw his long legs out of bed. The old farmhouse floor creaked as he stood and pushed his mass of dark curly hair into order with his fingers. He staggered down the hall, wearing only a ragged pair of blue basketball shorts. "Morning, Ma," he said as he walked into the kitchen and slid a chair across the dry wooden floor. "You're up early," she said, taking two bowls of cereal out of the cupboard. "Yeah, Tommy and I are meeting a few guys at the pond to swim." He sat down at the table and gazed out the tattered screen door. A few barnyard cats tumbled and played in the dirt next to a rusty old tractor. The sun's rays were angled, giving the wavy hayfield surrounding their farm a warm glow. "Hey, Ma, what was up with Grandma last night? She's been even weirder than usual lately. Is she feeling okay?" He heard a shuffling sandpaper noise. Tipping his head back, he saw Grandma passing behind him. On this hot July morning, she wore a brown sweater over a blue-flowered dress and a black shawl pulled tightly over her rounded shoulders. "Sorry, Gram, I just meant..." "What is it, dear?" She ran her hand lovingly across his shoulders as she went by, like she had done 1,000 times before. "Nothing, I was just hoping that you're feeling better." "Here, Ma," said Mrs. Hummel, setting down a hot cup of coffee in front of her. The old woman creaked. "Let's see what the tea leaves have to say." She dipped her spoon into the coffee and gave it 3 careful turns as if she was conducting a scientific lab experiment. She lifted a small carton of cream and with a shaky hand dripped the cool white liquid into the black swirling brew. Brian leaned back in his chair and watched in quiet amusement. "I was just thinking, don't you actually need tea to be able to read the leaves?" "Well, that is just what she calls it," said Mrs. Hummel. "You see, her mother used to tell the future by looking for shapes in her leftover tea grounds. Your grandmother is more the coffee drinker, so she's always preferred reading the shapes in her coffee cream." "Guess that was before email," Brian smiled. "Leave her be," said Mrs. Hummel. "If she thinks the Almighty himself takes a moment each morning to send her a message, well, let her have that." Grandma paid them no mind and leaned her face over the top of the cup. Mesmerized, she stared into the coffee as if she were peering through an open window. The spoon escaped her grasp and clanked loudly onto the table. Her trembling hand came up to her mouth. "Oh, my! Oh, my!" She looked up at Brian with her cloudy eyes and grabbed firmly onto his arm.
"Bad news."
"What?" said Brian.
"There will be bad news."
"When?"
"At the pond,"
Grandma yelled. Her head was shaking and her eyes grew wide. "I'll be over there after breakfast," said Brian. "I'll check it out for you."
"No, you mustn't," she yelled.
"Because the cream told you? What exactly did you see in there?"
"A raven holding a white flag."
"What's the matter, Mother? Calm down," said Mrs. Hummel. Grandma was trembling.
"Dark spirits at the pond. Mark my word, today is a dark day. Blacker than the crow and cold as a stone."
Brian calmly grasped Grandma's hand and looked into her eyes. "Relax, Gram. I've been there 1,000 times and never had a problem." Tommy walked through the doorway. He was a small-boned 12-year-old with stringy blonde hair and one dimple. Following his brother's lead, he also wore a pair of tattered basketball shorts and no shirt.
"Hey, what's all the hollering about? It woke me up. I was going to see if I could sleep until noon."
"That's something to strive for," said Brian. "A guy has to set goals," laughed Tommy.
"You needed to get up anyway, remember? We're swimming at the pond this morning."
"I am serious,"
yelled Grandma, slamming her open hand on the table with all the force that her old bones could muster. The spoon jumped and hot coffee sloshed onto the table.
"Mom, what is wrong with you?" said Mrs. Hummel as she came over with a dishcloth and mopped up the piping hot mess.
Grandma whispered as if being overheard.
"Some say that pond is bottomless. It goes on and on, down, down, down."
Mrs. Hummel raised an eyebrow.
"No, it's just a pond, Mom. and I don't want to hear another word about it.
It's more than that, and you know it. It's always been more than that, and today is its day. There are too many stories better left untold.
Tommy blurted. Toby heard voices by it once, and no one was there.
If no one was there, then how did he hear it? Brian laughed.
No more stories, said Mrs. Hummel, as she lifted two bowls with equal amounts of cereal and set them on the table. Her arm quaked as she tried to navigate a full gallon of milk over the top of the bowl.
Is Joey going to be there?
Tommy looked down.
I don't know, Ma.
Is he still teasing you?
No, not since Brian tossed him around. Mrs. Hummel glared at Brian. Brian shrugged, knowing this was the beginning of an endless lecture.
We better get going, he said with a mouthful of cereal.
Tommy laughed as milk dribbled down Brian's chin. Brian took two more large spoonfuls and made eye contact with Tommy. Tommy nodded in unspoken agreement, and they sprang from their chairs and burst out the back screen door.
Remember, you have chores this afternoon, Mrs. Hummel called out.
Dark spirits, Grandma yelled,
but the banging of the screen door drowned out her weak voice. Grandma shook her head grimly. Glancing up, she said, watch over them. Within moments, they were running through the small barnyard and into the hayfield toward the pond.
Hey, Tom,
said Brian as they slowed to a walk.
Don't worry about Joey, okay? If he's there, so what? Just don't let him get to you. The kid is a jerk. Everyone knows that.
He's always trying to prove that he's tougher than me.
He has something to prove, and I don't care what it is. You don't have to take any lip from him.
Brian put a reassuring hand on Tommy's shoulder.
Like I said, don't worry, I've got your back, okay?
Okay.
Hey, what did you make of Grandma this morning?
I'm starting to worry about her. She spends more time with her memories and in her mystery spirit world than she does with the rest of us.
Well, maybe she really did see something in her cream.
Yeah, so what? I see shapes in the clouds and it doesn't mean anything. A raven holding a white flag?
If the flag was made of cream, what other color would it be?
Tommy chuckled.
I see what you mean. I see shapes in the clouds and faces in burnt potato chips. It doesn't mean that it's a secret message.
Within minutes, they arrived at the pond to find Dave and Joey were already there. It was small and eerie, enclosed by leafy bushes and monstrous twisted trees with vines dangling from their overhanging branches. In the center of the pond was a small raft the boys had built a few summers before.
Come on in, Dave called out.
Brian immediately ran into the deep, inviting water. Going under, he pushed himself along smoothly, gliding through the depths. His face bobbed up on the surface, and he squirted a stream of water out of his mouth. Meanwhile, Tommy tested the water with his toe and started to wade in. Joey saw Tommy inching his way into deeper water.
Afraid to dive in, wimp!
Tommy glared at Joey, then continued his slow descent. Brian floated on his back, staring up at the vines dangling over the water. He was awakened from his trance by a splash and a gasp as joy erupted through the surface of the pond.
I did it! I touched bottom! I did it! Joey yelled, choking on his words.
Tommy frowned in disgust.
Ah, oh, you did not.
Joey paused.
You're just saying that because you're too wimpy to try.
I can do anything you can do, said Tommy as he swam towards the raft.
Joey's lying. No one's ever touched bottom. It's too deep, said Dave.
Tommy pulled himself up on the raft.
Well, I can, he said. Forget it, Tom. Don't let Joey get to you, said Brian.
But I can do it, said Tommy, even if Joey can't. Tommy stood dripping on the wobbly deck of the homemade raft. He sucked in deeply, absorbing all the air his small lungs could hold.
Don't do it, Tom, said Brian, while climbing aboard the raft.
He'll be okay, said Dave. Lungs fully inflated, Tommy plunged straight down into the warm, dark water. Brian's brow furrowed with concern as he moved to the edge of the raft. All he could see was the bottom of Tommy's feet as they kicked frantically and faded into the deep.
Why did you dare him to touch bottom? Asked Brian as he watched his little brother's bubbles rise slowly from below.
Joey moved closer, and the raft shifted slightly as he flung back his curly red hair.
I didn't make him. I just told him he couldn't.
Joy had a starch white body and freckles in such a random pattern it looked like red stain had been angrily splattered on him. "Why do you have to hassle him all the time?" Joy grinned so wide he could barely contain his laughter. "I don't know. It's just so much fun." Lying down, Dave hung his chin over the edge of the raft with his long nose just inches from the water. "No one has ever touched bottom," he mumbled. "My grandpa says no one could touch bottom when he was a kid either." "Tommy can probably hold his breath 1.5 to 2 minutes tops," said Dave, while glancing at his diver's watch. "Don't worry, he'll be popping back up any second now." The tall brush on the bank rustled as Toby pushed it back and stepped onto the grassy edge of the pond. He had short black hair, a dark complexion, and a wide button nose. At 15, he already had the chubby body of a 50-year-old man. He flung his T-shirt to the turf and bounced on one foot while removing his shoe. "Hey, what's down there? What are you guys looking at?" "Tommy's trying to touch bottom," Joy laughed mockingly. "Seriously? That should be a trick. Even if he said he touched, no one would believe him. Remember last summer? I got on the raft with 100 feet of clothesline and an old anchor. I never hit anything." "It's been too long already," said Brian. Grimacing, he unconsciously put his hand up to his face. He suddenly felt a hot wave of pure terror wash through his lanky body. He better pop up in the next second. The heat ran up the back of his neck, and a bead of sweat welled up on his forehead, falling to the water. "That's it. I'm going in," he stammered in disbelief. "Where is he?" Brian sucked in as much air as his lungs could contain. He pushed off hard, arching his body into the air. He could see the boy sprawling backward onto the raft as he penetrated the surface of the pond. With outstretched arms, he cut deep down into the cool water. Frantically, he clawed his way toward the bottom. He immediately picked up the trail of small blue bubbles coming to the surface from far below. "He has still got to be down here," he thought. Down, 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 he went, fighting his way to the bottom. "How far down can he be?" he thought, beginning to panic. Knowing he had only a few more moments of air, he kicked even harder and winced as he used up the remainder of his oxygen to propel himself deep into the seemingly bottomless pond. He felt a twinge of dizziness and knew that soon he would pass out from lack of air. Committed to saving his brother, he pushed even harder down deeper and deeper into the cool darkness. As his lungs strained, blackness began to close in around his face. Knowing he was fading beyond return, Brian paused and looked towards the surface. Silent echoes of his brother's voice beckoned him to continue. "Brian! Brian!" Semi-conscious, he hesitated, then pushed himself up toward the shimmering sunlight. Rapidly he ascended, his lungs strained, crying out for air. He broke through the surface, gasping and thrashed wildly. He felt someone grab under his arms and pull him up onto the raft. "Did Tommy come up yet?" Brian coughed. "No," said Dave. Brian struggled to his feet for another try, but Dave held him back. "Don't do it again," he warned. "You're spent. You'll kill yourself." Brian jerked his arm free and dove back into the water. He plunged deep into the pond, taking powerful strokes towards the bottom. He began to feel dizzy. "I don't know how long I can keep this up," he thought. He stopped and floated motionless, with his eyes wide. He looked down, carefully scanning back and forth, but could no longer see the trail of bubbles coming from below. A circle of darkness rapidly closed in around him as he began to lose consciousness.
Dark waters hide a deadly mystery. Will Tommy's body ever be found, or is Brian right? Is he somehow still alive down there in the seemingly bottomless pond? Townspeople have vanished at Blackwater Pond as far back as Grandma can remember. Tommy attempted a feat never accomplished by anyone, ever. He tried to swim down to the bottom of the pond and is now one of the missing. Join Brian as he becomes thrust into an otherworld adventure and takes on deadly obstacles in a desperate quest to save his brother.